It also just occurs to me that all 10 of these episodes are from the first 5 months of 2014. So I'm only figuring out now that I should probably do this roundup of top 10 downloaded podcasts in the middle of the year rather than at the end of it. That way, the second half of 2014 will get an equal chance to compete with the first half of 2015. I'm a genius. And it only took me doing this twice to figure it out.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 448, Most Downloaded Podcasts. So here it is, the exact middle of 2015, and I'm doing what I said I would do back in February, compiling the data to see which were the real top 10 most downloaded episodes of the RSC podcast in 2014. I'm sticking with this plan, even though I've discovered what I think are some flaws in the reasoning, because it really does seem that no matter which months I compile the data for, the farthest months back always have the most downloads, which makes sense because they've had the most time to accumulate. Accumulate, I think is how it's pronounced. Nonetheless, I'm going to stick with my plan because I don't have a better one. I don't have another podcast recorded. And it's still a good excuse to play you clips from the 10 most popular episodes from last year. So starting at number 10, with 2,595 downloads, is the episode from last August 25th, number 403, The Reston Extravaganza, in which Reed Martin and I announced the major lineup of performances we were about to do in September at the center stage of Reston Community Center in Reston, Virginia. At one point, we were talking about our long history with Reston and the theater there and its close connection to the RSC. The Reston Center stage has probably seen more different combinations of actors on her stage than any other theater that we've ever played. Going back to the original three guys, Jess, Daniel, and Adam, and then it was Jess, Adam, and you, and then me, and then Matt Croak coming in for Adam, and then Matt Rippey coming in for him, and then Michael Faulkner and Mick Orff, and God, a whole. I'm going to lose track of who all's performed there. Coming in at number 9 with 2,602 downloads is episode 402, The Pleasance Courtyard, also from last August. Are you beginning to see a pattern here? It seems like all the top 10 podcasts will be from about the same 2.5 month period almost a year ago. But nonetheless, we soldier on. This was a fun episode, which we recorded live in the Pleasance Courtyard, which is outside the venue where we were performing the European premiere of The Complete History of Comedy Abridged last summer, and which is filled night and day with people passing out flyers for shows, including, as it happens, our show. So now I'm talking to Chris, who has the unenviable task of going around selling us to the people of the Fringe. Chris, how's it going?
It's actually going really well. There's a lot of people have heard of Reduced Shakespeare Company and they really like it. So they're like, oh, come and see the show. And they're like, yes, we will come see you. That's very nice.
So you're getting 100% positive response?
No.
What? I thought so.
There's a lot of people who kind of do the, this has Shakespeare in it, I don't like this kind of look. And then I have to explain it's a comedy. And they're like, oh, maybe.
Okay, I'm glad we soldiered on, because coming in at number 8 is episode 409 from last October. This was called More Lost Works. It was the second episode of excerpts from an evening of lost and or rare bits we had written or recorded over the years, and that we performed as part of the Reston Extravaganza in Reston, Virginia. We began by explaining the difficulty of putting the evening together.
Originally, we thought this evening might be, well, let's just do all the bits that we've cut out of the shows that nobody's seen. And then we started to look at that and go, you know, we cut those out of the show for a reason. I think that's not going to be a very amusing evening.
As if to further prove the value of soldiering on, the 7th most downloaded podcast of 2014 is from September, with 2,631 downloads, episode 405, in which we talk about the writing and recording of our reduced radio show for the BBC World Service. We had received many requests over the years to talk about the history of this project, so I'm not surprised it's popular. Well, and that was the thing too. You find out that some jokes are funny if you say the punchline right up close to the microphone. But sometimes it's funny when you're far away.
When you're far away from the microphone.
You know, so it's so that playing with that sort of form was really cool. The other thing that was cool is that we were completely unsupervised. Nobody from the BBC or really even Laughingstock said, "Oh boys, you can't do that."
Yeah, no. Whatever we wrote, they said, "You want to do that? Do that."
The sixth most downloaded podcast of 2014 with 2,640 downloads is the interview I did with my friend Kelly Leonard, the executive vice president of the Second City in Chicago, and in which he talks about how Second City alums, in addition to playing with the RSC, have been some of the most transformative comic voices in the last 60 years.
You had people around here like Mike Nichols and Elaine May, Alan Arkin, Barbara Harris, Severn Darden, and then Fred Willard and Robert Klein, you know, so some amazing, amazing folks. And then leap to 1969, and it evolves once again, and it evolves with a show called The Next Generation. So we went from the suits and the short hair to John Belushi's long hair and blue jeans, and Harold Ramis and Joe Flaherty. And then a new kind of comedy evolved. So essentially, you look at Second City from the beginning to right now, and we're developing the next generation of comic voices, and that those changes are happening here, and then they go national.
Right.
So after
even back in the day, right? Yeah. Even in the 60s.
Yeah, absolutely. So the next generation leads to from 69 to then you look at the mid-70s, and you've got Saturday Night Live and SCTV. So Saturday Night Live being made up of Second City alums, Gilda Radner, Bill Murray, John Belushi, Dan Aykroyd, and then our own show, SCTV, in response with John Candy, Martin Short, so many great people, and Gilda, of course, in Saturday Night Live.
Hello. As far as I know, I'm Weird Al Yankovic.
Hi, this is Cory Booker.
Hey there, this is Neil LaBute.
Hi, I'm Ann H.
I'm Corva Coleman with NPR News.
Hey, I'm Eric Stonestreet from ABC's Modern Family.
Hey, everybody, I'm Frank Malika.
Hi, I'm Kate Chichner. I'm Austin's mother.
Hi, I'm Jason Fetty from KX93.5, Laguna Beach's only FM radio station.
Hey, this is Joel Murray, Freddie Rumson from Mad Men.
I'm Michael Whitmore, director of the Folger Shakespeare Library in Washington, D.C.
Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons.
Hey, I'm Reed Diamond.
Hello, my name is Will Wheaton.
I'm Peter Holland. I'm the McNeil Family Professor in Shakespeare Studies at the University of Notre Dame.
Hi, I'm Brian Dennehy, and you're listening to the Produced Shakespeare Company podcast.
You're very good.
Quality of mercy is not strained. It's sprinkled from above like the... No.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This week in Islington in London, Malvern and Bath are the last lost three places to catch our UK tour of the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged, revised in 2015. Also this weekend is your last chance to catch Reed and I in the audience at Shakespeare Napa Valley watching the workshop performances of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play abridged in St. Helena, California. But if you're in the Midwest this summer of 2015, that workshop production will transfer to the Notre Dame Shakespeare Festival and play for 4 weeks at Notre Dame University in South Bend, Indiana. That'll be in August. Reed and I will be there for the first 2 weeks. And we have 15 new RSC U.S. tour dates this fall of 2015, performing in Pennsylvania, Georgia, Virginia, California, Louisiana, North Carolina, Missouri, and Kansas. And next April and May of 2016, Reed and I will perform the official world premiere of the Reduced Shakespeare Company production of William Shakespeare's long lost first play abridged at the Folger Shakespeare Theater in Washington, D.C. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information. Now, the fifth most downloaded podcast of 2014 was also from last September. With 2,659 downloads, it was the first episode of excerpts from our Evening of Lost Works at the Reston Extravaganza. And one of the things we featured was the reduction that gave the evening its name.
When we first titled this evening, The Lost Works, everybody assumed
we were going to be showing exclusively this one thing. When Lost was about to enter its final season, the TV show Lost, it was about, the sixth season was then was about to air on Sky TV in Britain, and we were contacted by the PR people for Sky TV asking us whether we would be interested in reducing the first five seasons of Lost
to into 10 minutes.
Into 10 minutes.
Which it needed.
Yeah.
The fourth most downloaded podcast of 2014 is not a surprise. With 2,698 downloads, episode 398, Salesman Behind Bars, was my second conversation with director Kate Powers, whose work directing theater in prisons transformed a play I don't really care for.
I get why Death of a Salesman is an important play, and I get the emotions of it behind it. I've never seen a production where I think I genuinely buy it. And it has something to do with, I don't know, the highly successful star slumming to play this sad sack, or the context of a usually upper middle class audience sitting there judging this man. Something about the context of these men performing this in prison suddenly makes this play vital and important and believable now to me.
One thing that was really important to us was to make sure that we could understand, that the audience would understand that the character of Ben was a little bit magical, or was maybe not quite as grounded in reality as the rest of the characters in the play. And in a professional production where you've got, I don't know, a design team, you could write some light cues for him, right? Which would help signify that when Ben shows up, we're in an alternate place, right? But we were doing this in a room where the lights were just on. And so it was really important to me to find a way to make sure people understood about Ben. And so we did this through the only tool that I had available to me there, which was costume. So he had a suit that had a bright turquoise shirt and a bright turquoise tie and a really fly turquoise hat, right? So after one of the performances, one of the guys in the audience turned to me and he said, "So that guy was all in his head, wasn't he?" Which, of course, was Arthur Miller's original title for the play, In His Head.
Really? In His Head? I did not know that.
Yeah, that's what it was originally called.
I hope you get a chance to listen to that whole episode. Kate tells great stories about the wonderful work she does. Our third most downloaded podcast of 2014, with 2,723 downloads, is episode 400, which was dedicated to and recorded live at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival in Scotland. This week, we have now returned to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival for the first time in over 9 years. Ladies and gentlemen, charge your glasses. Welcome back to the Edinburgh Fringe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's still raining.
The second most downloaded podcast of 2014, with 2,750 downloads, was episode 397, Science Fiction Theater, in which I talked to my friend, playwright Michael Bernard, about his play, Alien the Family, which was produced as part of LA's SciFest Theater Festival.
Did you write it because you too share my strong feeling that...
I love science fiction. I love Star Trek. You know what I've always loved this idea that is not in science fiction anymore, but is such a funny part of old time science fiction, 50s, 60s science fiction, is that our people feel this way. Like, you come to a planet and the entire planet has one trait. You know what I mean? It's like we all, no one here cares for broccoli. What
is this thing, broccoli, of which you speak?
Yeah, right. And also, and my wife, one of the things that actually first attracted me to her was she used to do an impression of every woman on Star Trek, which went like this. What is this thing you call to kissing? Oh, but wait, quick, my father comes. And I just was like, you know, I wanted to sort of throw those all in. My sort of poking fun. So the play was really poking fun at 50s science fiction.
I'm not surprised that was so popular. Science fiction is a very popular topic amongst our podcast listeners. The Venn diagram between RSC fans and sci-fi geeks is
almost one circle. But the number one most downloaded podcast episode of 2014 doesn't surprise me either. It was an episode in which we combined music and our most popular topic, Shakespeare, when I talked to composer Jason Fetty about the songs he wrote and performs on his CD, Shakespeare's Fool. This was episode 396 from exactly a year ago.
The words make it, the words of that song just, it was so easy to write. When I first started doing this, it seemed like a big thing to do. But once you get into those lyrics, man, and when he talks about love, he means it. When he talks about death, he's serious about, you know, and that's about the only two topics really that he talks about. So there you go.
Spring come to you at the farthest, in the very end of harvest. Scarcity and want shall shun you. Circe's blessing, so is on you. Blessings 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 on you.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your favorite episodes via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also contact us on Facebook or Twitter, and we'll respond. Social media should be a dialogue, not a monologue. Some of you actually posted reviews of this podcast on iTunes last week. Thank you very much for those. If you haven't done it yet, it's not too late, and every review helps. Just click on over to iTunes or Facebook or Twitter now. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to Webmaster Matt Rippey, least downloaded episode Matthew Croke, music by John Weber and Garage Band, and by Jason Fetty. Our random fan shout out this week goes to Sarita Townsend. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to all the guests I've chatted with over the years, especially the ones who have given me celebrity blurbs for the podcast. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening.
I'm Austin Titchener.
I'm Reed Martin.
Dominic Conti.
I'm Michael Faulkner.
I'm Dee Ryan.
I'm Mick Orff.
I'm Brent Tubbs.
And we are 7/3 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Thank you very much. Good night.
That seemed very sincere and genuine. Thank you very much for that.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.